Father, we thank you. Let's thank the Lord for his word. Let's thank the Lord. Thank the Lord that your life is turned around. Every encounter with the Lord is a tangible encounter. It causes your life to be turned around. It heals you. It sets you free. You have been healed. You have been set free. You have been set at liberty. This nation has been touched. The Lord has touched you by himself, even this evening. Yes, you have been set free. You have been empowered. It will be easier for you to walk in righteousness. There's a new light that has been ignited within you. So thank the Lord. Say, Lord, I thank you. I thank you. I'm not the same. I'm not the same. I am changed. My encounter with you has caused me to be changed even this evening. Thank you, everlasting Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Praise the Lord.
If you believe that the Lord has heard your prayer, can you give me an amen?
Amen.
All right, let's take our declaration of understanding because we are going to study a bit before we continue to pray, as is our habit during our school of prayers. All right, let's take that declaration of understanding.
That the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, the Lord is good. Let's take our seats. I just feel like taking a Bible reading. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Psalms. Psalm number 16. And we're going to come back to it in a moment. That is somewhere along the line. But let's start by reading from that chapter, the book of Psalms, number 16 from verse 1. Preserve me, O God, for I take refuge in you. I said to the Lord, you are my God. I have no good besides you. As for the saints who are in the earth, they are the majestic ones in whom is all my delight. Now, please pardon me. I usually like to read that particular line in the New Living Translation. Verse 3, it says, the godly people in the land are my true heroes. I take pleasure in them. Before I continue reading, allow me to take a break and recommend this book, Great Faith Can Be Yours. I wrote the book about 16 years ago. Get to the 17th year now. I wrote it in a short while. Okay, I was working on another book. I can't even remember which one now and whether I've ever finished that one. And then suddenly, I was interrupted. That is my spirit. And I put that file aside and I wrote the book, Great Faith Can Be Yours. And within 2 weeks, I was essentially done with it. I just putting finishing touches to it was all I had to do. I was away actually from Enugu for a period of that time, for about a month. So when I came back, I just put the book together and we published it. Great Faith Can Be Yours. It's a very important book. I would like everybody listening to me to read it. Where do I get it? Just go to pastor.ng. The same website is pastorbanki.org. If you are using that, remember to spell Banki as BANKIE.org. You go to the books section, you will see the book there. Please, I'm recommending, read the book. The title is Great Faith Can Be Yours. And inside it, I explain how great faith comes to people. And one of the things I explained is, who do you admire in life? They infuse you with faith. They do. The people you look up to, without you doing anything, they infuse you with faith. It's very crucial you get that point. That's why I'm referring to the book. But there are other things to learn in the book. But this is where, this is one thing I quoted there. He said, the godly people in the land are my true heroes. I take pleasure in them. If you are on Instagram, Facebook, where else do you follow people? X, Twitter, you understand? All those places. Please follow godly people. Don't follow angry people. There are some people in this country, who say, what they need now is revolution. Don't follow people like that. Some people are anarchists. Since they were young, they've been anarchists. No matter how nice they sound, I make a joke of it sometimes. The fella Nicola Kwokuti used to say some very interesting things, but don't follow him. They say he spoke against government. I said, if you smoke that size of rap, you will speak against your father. So don't come and make it look like it's a sign of boldness. Don't follow them. They speak, how do they call? And then please, those who speak against authority are people you should try not to follow. They are not heroes. Be very careful about such people. Most of them, they speak against everything. There's a guy I know, he says, you're not an opposition person. Since I've known you for years, you have always been opposing every form of authority. And if you read Jude talk about it, he tells the fact that you're a dangerous person. They are those, so be very careful who you follow. You don't follow rich people because they are rich. There was a time one young man was just making us everywhere. Anytime he wake up in the morning, said, today I feel like buying myself a birthday present. So he went and bought is it Breitling or one of these expensive watches? Paid $200,000+ for a wristwatch. I don't have a problem with it. It's your money, not my money. It's your time, not my time. You want to tell your time. You're not trying to use it to determine the way my time will go. But why are you photographing the price and telling me? It's a sign that something's wrong with you. Fact, something's wrong with your head. And people were following him. Where the boy was a thief. Just woke up this morning. I have a craving for a new Bentley. He goes to buy a new Bentley. There are things that even Dangote does not do. Because those are people who know the value of money. As rich as some of these, look, they say Bill Gates can pick, it makes money faster than it's possible for a human being to pick it. I don't know what I get what I say. That if they pour dollars on the floor, they say be picking one by one. At the end of the year, you have not picked what Bill Gates will get paid. You think it's easy to pick money? Some of this, one particular year, Warren Buffett made $11 billion. I don't blame you for sneezing. Even though you sneeze for another reason. Yeah, those men won't do some things. That's what I'm trying to say. Because they understand the value. So one young man is there, showing us every little thing he has, and people are admiring him. You should know what not to admire. And of course, after a short while, they put his butt in khaki and put him inside prison somewhere in America, where he belongs. Who should be your heroes? Said the godly ones in the land. David said what? They are my true heroes. Let's read it in a more conservative translation, New American Standard. It says, as for the saints who are in the earth, they are the majestic ones in whom is all my delight. Please don't forget it all. Learn who to follow. I hope I get my point. Follow people who have real values. Because these things ooze into you. Please, let me say this again. You are not a product of your determination. Don't let any motivational speaker come and motivate you. Look, if Lazarus is dead, you know what? Lazarus is dead. Speak from now till tomorrow, he's not going to walk. He's not going to come out of that grave. You need the Jesus to speak into his life. I hope you're getting my point. So no matter how motivated you are, if the life of God is not flowing into you, you are not going to succeed. So if you are motivated, fine. Use your motivation to tap into life. Use your motivation to tap into life. Now, please, I'll continue my reading. But this morning I was reading a particular, Psalm 1. And I was just going over, thank God for smart Bibles. If you're a Bible student, get a smart Bible. I appreciate this paper that you say I must die with this paper. But get a smart Bible. You know my reason? Growing up, I used to take a lot of notes and make notes when I'm studying. I've lost almost all of them. But once I started using a smart Bible, I've not lost one. Because once I put it into my device, it backs up to the server. So I've changed my device I don't know how many times. Put on my computer, my notes are there. Anyway, that's just an aside. I was reading my Bible this morning again, and there's an old note I made. And I could not even remember. Look, if it was not my Bible, my account, I would have felt that somebody has wrote. If I read this in a book, I'll have come to quote it for you. I didn't even know I knew what was inside. I was analyzing Psalm number 1. He said, how does it go again, Psalm 1? Blessed is the man who does not what? Walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, or stand in the way of sinners. Okay, now good. Now, something just struck me there. If you get to verse 2, says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in it he meditates day and night. Now, in verse 3, it says, he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields his fruit in the season, and his leaf does not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers. The wicked, he says, are not so, but are like chaff which the wind drives away. You know what struck me there? Well, I saw that I wrote it before. I couldn't even remember writing it. I didn't even know I knew it. I analyzed this and said that, look, it's a tree firmly planted, not inside water. Where is this planted? By. Where do you plant trees? Inside the soil. So this stream was not planted inside water. It was planted where? Inside the soil. Except that this soil has a lot of water around it. Now, what does soil typify? Go and check it. God told Abraham to go and count the sand that's by the sea. So soil refers to people. I hope you're getting my point. So basically, what was God saying? This person, and look at it. Look, you know, sometimes you have to be careful when reading the scriptures. Number one, he said what? He does not walk. He talks about relationships. He said his relationship does not include sinners, so that he's standing with them on their path, sitting on their seat, the seat of scoffers. And he does not, what does he say again? He does not enter the council of wicked people. So they are not the ones having conversations with him. So what was he describing? His relationships. Who does he listen to? He said, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Okay, where does he get the law from? It's simple. He's like a tree firmly planted inside a soil. But soil that is soaked with what? Water. It's by the streams of water. That is, surround yourself with people who talk the word of God all the time. The soil refers to people. Some with even gospel. God doesn't have to be yanking to only you. He speaks through people. When you have problems, who do you talk to? Who are your counselors? Who do you hang out with? That's where you are firmly planted. Do you know, I saw the note. I don't know when I made that note. I don't know how the thing hit me. That, listen, if you really want to succeed, the people around you must also be soaked in the word of God. I hope you're getting my point. The most, and look at it. You know, the Bible sometimes, when the Bible does that, he would give you one. It doesn't explain the other, but shows it's a contrast. For example, it says, this book of the Lord shall not depart from what? Your mouth, but thou shalt meditate there at night. That already tells you, without it, look, it's simple English. It means that meditation must involve the mouth, because it shall not depart from your mouth, but it's the opposite. But thou shalt meditate there in day and night. It tells you meditation includes what? The mouth. So it's telling you, you will not walk in the counsel of wicked people, stand in the path of sinners, or sit in the seat of scoffers. But once it's putting it like that, it's telling you also where you will walk, where will you sit, and where you will stand. And not just where, but who you are associating with. Then it hit me that it was saying that the tree was not planted inside the river. It was planted beside, that is inside the soil. But the soil was soaked with water from that river. So David said, the godly ones in the land are my what? My true heroes. They are the ones that speak into my life. I found something in this generation. People associate with grumblers a lot. One of my resident doctors posted, in fact, I'm sure that guy would be afraid to post something on his, what do you call it now, status, or block my number. Because he will post some things, I will send him a private chat. I said, must you show the whole world how stupid you are? He will say, sorry, sir. He will quickly delete the post. Yeah, I've done it too many times. One day I said, I have warned you to stop posting nonsense. Sorry, sir. He will quickly delete the stuff. That's what it means to be planted. Once he posts something, I've warned him again. Now, you see where I'm going? Anytime those people gather around me, I realize that 9 times out of 10 people are grumbling. One of our sisters called me yesterday, you know, and we're speaking. Was it yesterday or the day before? Which day was it? Easter Resurrection Day or Sunday? I think it was day before yesterday. Yeah, one of those days. Anyway, why are some people laughing? They don't believe Jesus Christ rose up on Sunday. Well, somebody said that. Is it important? Well, sometimes it's just good to know the truth. All right, Jesus was dead for 3 days and 3 nights. Go and calculate it if it fits the one that you're operating. But let's not go into that. And then she said something that everywhere I am, people get to know you. Talking about me. Why? This is what I'm talking about. He says, because of the way I sound. That the way I sound, not because I want to come and tell you about my pastor. No. They just start talking. That my opinion is always different. So you get to my office, I'm the only person who does not complain. And everybody knows that you never catch this girl grumble. You never catch this girl complain. And sometimes they ask her why. And that is when she shares the word of God with people. I find out, all right? If you spend all your time, your association with people who grumble, it will enter your spirit. You won't know when you become a grumbler, a complainer. It's very important. When David said, as for the saints who are in the earth, or the godly ones in the land, are my true heroes, I take pleasure in them. It's not a joke. Those are the ways by which you drink of faith constantly. Faith is not a determination. It's whether it is there or it's not there. It's a substance. It flows. The sad side about faith sometimes that you may think it's there and it's not there. You are walking by self-confidence and foolishness. Englishman told us long ago, fools do what? They rush into where even angels fear to tread. So your boldness is not necessarily a sign of faith. It can be a sign of your stupidity. It can be a sign of your ignorance. It can be a sign of anything. A sign that your faith is there. Alright? Let me put it this way. You will see the results it produces in your life. Some time ago, I realized that some things that worry people don't worry me. And I was wondering why. This was just about a week or two ago. And I was wondering why. I said, is the word of God working? Is the word of God working? That is the reason. Like I told one of my colleagues told me once, when dollar was going, that's the price of the dollar against the naira was rising and rising. That he came, can you believe? Dollar is now 1,800. That was when he went up to 1,009. Like I told my classmates, they called me Bishop. He said, Bishop, the way you are sounding, it's as if these things that happen in Nigeria doesn't worry you. And I'm like, is he supposed to worry me? Now, you probably think that this is somebody that maybe you have more money than he does. No. It's a man who told us once that he lost 100 million naira as about 10 years ago. That's the kind of person that's telling me that he looks like you're not even concerned about what this is not affecting you. And I said, no, it's not affecting me. I said, because what's my problem with the dollar? What am I using the dollar for? I joked about that. And I said, okay. You, what do you want to use the dollar for? Why are you going to price it? You know what he said to me? He said, I'm trying to preserve whatever is left of the value of my money. I said, it's people like you that are spoiling everything. Now, why am I telling that story? After we had that conversation, I was not asking myself, why am I not bothered? If people like this, with the amount of money he has, and if I tell the position he holds in this country, you'll be surprised. And the man's telling me he wants to preserve the value of his money. So I asked myself, so after that I said, look, wait, why am I not worried the way some people are worried? That's why I'm talking about it. After reasoning, I said it is the working of the word of God. I'm not a fatalist. I just realized it's the word of God that is working. So I used to find the dancing of the dollar amusing. They say today is now 1,860. I would just start laughing. It hit one night. The first eye drop is still going down. One guy now said, dollar I bought for 1,006. It's now 1,003. Who's going to help me? Help you do what now? You know, and let me not start that. I wanted to say some things. Okay, I'll say it. You're not a currency speculator. I'll be getting my point. So please don't let the switch, the moving up and down of the forex market disturb you. It's not your job. Don't even try to take advantage of it. Because the day you start, you have started. I hear adverts those days on radio. Come and learn how to trade forex on the internet. I say, are you crazy? If you go there, just know your head is not correct. I'll get to my message. But just to help you. Those who are trying to teach you, they don't know. They don't know. What they just know is the registration fee that you are going to pay. That is why he's teaching how to trade forex on the internet. Not as if he has made a dime doing it. Is that a registration fee? They went down and you learned how to trade quick crypto on the internet. Listen, where he's getting his money from? He's not trading the crypto. He's in teaching ignoramuses like you. An ignoramus, you don't know that he's just there to scam you. I see old people standing around this our plaza making phone calls at odd hours of the day. Some of you see them. I just shake my head. Hello, we are calling you from, as I'm walking past. This fellow is on a staircase. He doesn't even have an office. Look, just go down that staircase. I say, hello, did you get our message? We are giving an opportunity to become rich, and you're on a staircase. Then when they want to start meeting, they start with praise worship. It makes me laugh. Sometimes I want to take pictures of them. Those small girls, I don't see those small girls anymore. Those one used to use rubber band to bind their, you know, phones that don't work. They use, you know, these phones, they put power banks, plug the power bank to the wall, everything, nothing is working. And you want to give me an opportunity to make money. How does that make sense? There are things I'm passing. I want to just snap them and put their pictures on. Say, look at the people calling you. They don't even have an office. They take plastic chairs, sit on our staircase, and giving you the opportunity to what? To come and sit on the staircase. Like I said, that's not my message. I couldn't resist helping you with that. I've told you, don't be interested in quick money. Please, I'll get back to my message, right? Is that okay? I need to help people some more. How do you make money in this life? It's a simple thing. First, there's no quick money. It doesn't exist. Only Satan offers quick money. I hope you're getting my point. Okay, good. Let's now talk about dutiful building of wealth. First thing, okay, ask yourself, how's my name saved on people's phones? Maybe one day you go and get your friend to type your name on Truecaller to see how people saved your name. So you know the kind of human being you are. Let me say what I'm trying to say. Let me tell you the best, that your name should be saved like this, the best way. Let's just use, okay, let's just take the name Chibuzo, all right? Can be, so it's not you, Chibuzo, in case it's you, and it's, in case the Holy Spirit is talking to you, but I learned something. The best way to have your name saved is this. Chibuzo, electrician. Chibuzo, mechanic. Chibuzo, hairdresser. Chibuzo, painter. Chibuzo, what do you call people that plaster? Mason. That's a godly way. There's someone that called me. I actually saved his name and put question mark in front of it. Once I see that question mark, I said, what is he looking for again? I hope you're getting my point. See, your name should just be tied to a solution to problems. I hope you're getting my point. It's the best. Look, once your name is saved like that, you know you have made it. Now, I'm just going to explain that. You should be known for something. Do you follow my point?
Yes, sir.
Pray that your name should be saved. Now, that's just, of course, not every time somebody will save your name, all right? Okay. And I know how my name is saved. Praise God for that. I mean, my name is saved as what? Banky, pastor. Uh-huh. So this is, I have another one now. Banky, bishop. You know, it's good. Because now I'm getting promoted. Don't worry, if you see bishop, it's my classmates that do that. They use it to mock me, actually. The Lord is good. But what I want to say is that when your name comes to somebody's head, what comes into their head? What kind of service are you providing? What would they need and they will call you? I hope you're getting my point. Yes. No. So you have to think about it. You have to, as you are growing, say, no. They must know me for where I work and what I do. How am I contributing? Like I said, it's an aside. All these people are just trying to tell you to help you make money quick. They are not helping you. They are not helping you at all. So come and join pyramid scheme. Let me not start on pyramid schemes. And when they talk about network marketing, let me add one thing for you. Ask what they are marketing. One day somebody tried to recruit my wife and some people into some things. I like the way my wife's sister answered the person. When the person finished explaining how much money there is to make, the first month you can make like 250,000. Second month you can make, those not 250 of today, of maybe like 10 years ago. Yeah, up to 10 years. You can make this. She asked a simple question. So what are we going to be selling? That is, the question was, no, forget the money. What is the job? You have spent all the time trying to tell me how much I can make. I walked into one man's office one day. He said, Pastor Banky, look, this thing, you are the one that can move it forward. I said, no, my wife said you told her about it. He said, no, that you are the one that has the network. Then he brought us his checks. He said, this place where I work is not where I'm making my money. This is where I'm making my money. He had photocopied all the checks they gave him in a month. 1 month, 700,000. What I'm telling you is nothing less than 7 years ago. Another month, 800. Another one, 900. Another one, 1 million. Another one, 750. Just show me all the checks. Say, this is where the money is coming from. When I said the word is working in my life, it's not a joke. I looked at him and I smiled. I said, thank you very much. I said, but you know, this business thing is kind of not my thing. That I don't have grace. Tempted? I wasn't tempted one day. Look, listen, if you dashed me 10 million that time, I would have prayed for you. Don't think I didn't like the money. If you came to me and gave me 10 million naira, kneel down there, I will remove my shoes. Look, I can pray for you with two hands, but when I pray for you with one hand up, just now I'm collecting the anointing. Call over Shia. The pastor, are you sure? Bring 10 million, let's see. So now, what I'm learning for that is not as if I didn't like the money. But I could not be. I was eager to get out of his office. I said, but this talk is not my talk. He was showing me, I said, in my mind, these checks you are showing me is exactly what is throwing me off. He didn't know. The checks he was showing me were the very things throwing me off. If he had said, Pastor Banky, sit down. There's something I want to discuss with you. There's this business idea. I would have listened. I may not have participated, but I would have listened. But once he started with showing me checks, I was thrown off. I said, listen, I've told you. Once he starts with checks like that, you say, run. That is how Satan catches people. You're telling me? That is how Satan catches people. Always showing you what you will collect. He will not tell you what you are going to offer people. How are you going to bless them? The Lord is good. I just want to add that one for you. In this life, if you are not known for something, go live here and go and say, Lord, please, what will I be known for? When I wake up every day, who am I blessing? How am I blessing people? If people want to talk to about me somewhere, what would they be saying I do? When they want my friends, I was telling them if they want to join into something, ask them, what am I going to give to people? One of my friends, he said, he was helping somebody market something. I just looked and said, my God. By the time he finished marketing that stuff, he had made a bad name. Everybody was just talking bad about him. Everybody. And he's in his sales, it's not good. I said, why would... Please, I will get back to Psalm 16, right? Please, stop selling things you don't know. No new product should be found in your hand. Since a new product just entered the market, and you don't know it. He said, it's a new Maggie, and you are selling it. It's not every business they give you to do you get involved in. You know, there is nothing in this life you will not learn. There is no easy business. Every business has to be learned. My wife used to sell clothes, you know, apparel, used to sell watches, clothes, perfumes, shoes, all kinds of, that kind of. What class of goods is that? Clothing and allied, and accessories, thank you. I was going to say clothing and allied forces, but you gave me the right word on time. Living with her, that's when I realized that, just to buy this thing and sell has a skill. That is, you realize that over time, experience will come in. You know things that you can't, you should not say things like, no, if it's clothes, that's not the problem. I can store them for 10 years, doesn't matter. But if it's shoes, they have to go. The quality of shoes tells you how long you can store it. All right? Now, where I'm going is that just little things like, no, these bags, if I buy them, I have to sell them within 2 months because if you store them in this our temperature, just storing them, they'll get destroyed. Little things. I just kept on observing it. One day, one lady was leaving Nigeria, needed to sell off all her things. Somebody now told her, go and meet so and so person. She'll buy them from you. So she brought everything to see my wife. Like, okay, no, because I'm traveling. It's like, what they call those sales? Not really distress sale, but like clearance sale. It's clearance. It's clearance sale. Hey, that thing, it was a funny experience for me. The lady was okay, this one I'm selling for 3,000 naira for one. My wife said, this one 1,080 in nature. Leave that in. I'm clearing it for you, 3,000. My wife said, this is 1,800 naira in nature. Why should I clear it for you for 3,000 naira? I didn't say, hey, you know, I brought it from Dubai. Look, whether I brought it from Dubai or Italy, it's none of my problem. If I walk to Onitsha here, I get this for 1,800. By the time they finished, my wife sat her down, gave her a lecture. The girl was crying. Why are you being deceptive? You're supposed to be a Christian. Why are you coming here to lie to me? I know this business. You can't tell me you are claiming this thing and it's 3,000. And if I did not know, I will pay. I give you, when I walk to Onitsha, I get this thing for 1,800 naira. Then my wife used to travel a lot. You know, she'll go to UK, buy stuff. She entered the place, just look at them and say, nonsense. All of these ones. How much is it? 10 pounds. This is Onitsha, it's 2,000. I leave that thing. I'm telling you. She'll just look at them and say, I said, oh, so even this just buy and sell. If you see how much experience and skill that is needed, you not tell you to come and register, they dump new Maggie on you, and you collect. You collect. The very soon as the pastor, things are not working. If you were things, will you work? And I don't get it. Things you have no experience in, they tell you to invest your money. I forbid you. And please, I'm telling you, things they consume, don't get involved if you don't know about it. Because you look, once you are selling things, I'm telling you the truth, you carry a lot of responsibility. The story I told you guys once. One day somebody imported, because my wife has that skill. I mean, she can sell things. And she used to do it with spiritual. I'm not kidding. Those days, she used to sell a lot of things, you know. The garage where in the house we used to stay, we had shelves everywhere. My wife loaded them with a lot of goods. Then she would just look, these goods, what are they doing here? She would go from shelf to shelf, place her hands on them, and start speaking to them, and start speaking to them, and start speaking to them. The following week, phone call. Hello, ma. Somebody gave you my number. Give me your number. Hello. Is this another person? I got a number from this another person. That's why people are coming to my house knocking. My wife just, you know, see, sales. Yeah, look at how much. This month, he said January is slow. Say, my husband, I sold 2 million naira. January is slow. She literally lay hands on goods, and I watched this thing fly off the shelf, literally. I'm not exaggerating. So because of that, somebody told her one day, somebody imported toys. And person couldn't sell any. So I told her, call this woman. So they got to meet. Okay. After she assessed everything, they were fairly used toys, but they're good, very good quality. Some of them computers, different things. But toys for kids. And they were expensive. They were not cheap. So my wife, the person agreed. She collected the stuff. Now, first, she sold every single one of them. So let's first clear that one out. She sold everything with that. If I'm the one, I won't sell anything. My own books I can't sell. So, but where I'm going is that one day, somebody said that one computer, then, this was around, it's about 15 years ago, 13, a toy computer set was 25,000 used. Yeah. Top quality stuff. When I tried to boot it at home, it didn't work. So the fellow called. So I wasn't at home that day. So my wife called me about it. She just told the fellow that, don't worry, my husband is not home. When he comes back, he'll help me look at it. He said, bring it back for me. So she brought it. She said, please, my husband is not home. When he comes back, he'll help me look at it. And the lady looked like, I thought your husband is supposed to be a pastor and a doctor. How is it? My wife just laughed. Say, you don't know the guy I married. Just leave him. Just don't worry. Drop the stuff. Go. Now, where I'm going is, when she told me, I said, this thing has to work or you give the woman a full refund. Because it's not something you could go and repair. There's a reason with this, or the way it was. Where do you want to start from? I said, it has to work or you give the woman the full refund. She had called the person who supplied, you know. That if I want them, they drag leg. You know, they are used things now. You know, I told my wife, I said, hey, wait, listen. We will handle her own matter later. But you are the person this person knows. So prepare 25,000 naira refund in case I can't fix this. Which means that she is going to lose money. Harsh, it was hard, but she accepted it. Anyway, I just said, where is it? When I came, I just packed the stuff. I looked at it. Electronic device. Now, if you're a man, you should know these things, okay? Don't be a man that can't change bulb. As some men enter their house, the woman is on top of a chair trying to change. It's not good. It's not good. Please, change the bulb, okay? If you don't know how to change the bulb, just say, I'll do it tomorrow. When your wife is gone, call your guys. Guys, wahala deal. fix all the bulbs before Madame comes back, okay? There are little things. I just looked at his device then. It's quite a while ago. When you are selling things, all this money, now as I buy. No, listen. That's why you make a profit. When I went to preach in Port Harcourt, one brother told me that, if you don't have a businessman, you start wondering whether you're a thief for charging people. I have to explain to you, he said he's a veterinary, he's a veterinary doctor. Anyway, he's a veterinary of some sort. So he sells puppies. So people say they want a particular puppy. He will quote 60,000 for them, then go and buy somewhere for 50,000. There is that 10,000 on top, is stealing. I asked him a simple question. If the puppy dies, who bears the cost? He didn't think about it before. I said, you know puppies can die? In transit, you go to one. I said, in transit, you know the puppy can die? Run away, run under a motor car. Motor car grinds it for you. He said, that is why you charge 10,000 naira extra. You are bearing risk. You are bearing other things. Apart from just your transportation, no, there's risk involved. That is why you have to have a markup. But that markup also puts a responsibility on you. Like the puppy, the guy say he wants a pure breed or station, you give it to him. After the dog grows for 1 month, you find that the thing is 75% mongrel. You know what they call mongrel? Yes, a cookie. It's as I bought it. Like nonsense. You refund the person's money. Don't be silly. That's why I say, don't do business you don't know. If you must do it, go and learn. I must say, don't do a new business. Did I say so? I say, if you must do it, do what? Go and learn. Go and learn. And please, the best way to learn, hey, are we doing business seminar today? The best way to learn, don't learn with your own money. Go and help somebody else. Like this puppy thing I just told you now. Go and look for a man who's selling puppies and help him deliver. Help him run from one place to the other. All you are making in each trip is 1,000 rand. Sometimes nothing. Go and work for somebody. You will watch how mistakes are made. You watch how they are corrected. Don't just get up one day and say, I realize if you're a Dangote distributor, you don't make them. Don't worry. You will know the weight of cement in 6 months. Don't worry. Don't worry. Go borrow money. One guy came to me one day. He said, things were not working. there are times, people come to ask you for help. And you're looking at it, the way they are talking. You are the one that needs help from them. The guy said, you see, his friend is the head of so and so. The first thing he said, all he just needs now is 30 million to be a registered distributor. I said, That time, if you sold Kingdom World Ministries, you won't get 30 million. He was saying it very casually, just 30 million. See, let me just warn you. Before you pronounce some amounts of money, check the shoes you are wearing, check your wristwatch, check your phone, check your shirt. Otherwise, I'll think you're a madman. You want to impress him? See, there are people who are like that. They are not common. What I'm going to say is that stop using your mouth to pretend. If you don't have, you don't have. You're going to sit down and say, I was just talking with the boys. We're in the club last week. That wine Wiki was drinking, I don't think I like it. You don't think you like 40-year-old whiskey? Why are you discussing it? When you read it, I say, Nabe, give me Coke. And just drink your Coke. Be so pretending. Oh, the Lord is good. I'm trying to get to my message. This man came and said, what he just needs is 30 million. My mind, may the Lord help you find 30 million. You want prayer? Let's join hands. Father, this 30 million problem, solve it. I've not said anything. What did I say? Sometimes I just say, God, screw his head back. That's the meaning of solve it. So if I give you 30 million, you will enter distributorship business. Don't be stupid. You have never distributed anything. They will not give you 30 million. You will not go and start. Many of us don't know. Let me not mention the name of the company. They left Nigeria now. The markup they used to give their businessmen was 5%. See that 30 million? When they give you 30 million in goods, what's 5%? 10% is 3. Yeah, 5% will be 1.5. That will cover every wahala you are having. But you know when they first give you 30 million, you go and downpay. They say they are selling land in one layout. You go and pay. You think you have money. You don't know you don't have money. He can't say, what he just needs is 30 million. I'm just looking at him, 30 million. Okay. May the Lord help you find it. So I say, even if they give you 30 million,
That's why some people, they get into trouble. They pay them gratuity. They now go and start business. Let me just advise those of you who have never done business until you retired. Don't do. What should I do with the money? Build the house. Yes, if you have foundation, just finish the house. But that way, at least you won't lose it. You can't retire and start a new business. It doesn't work. I hope I'm helping somebody. Why did I get into all of this? Don't want quick gain. If you want to learn a business, if you want to do a business, go and learn it. Go and learn it. How do you learn it? Go and work with those who are already doing it. Do it for some time. Get paid little, but be learning. One of the most important features of any work you are doing is that you are learning. I hope you're getting my point. I think I'll finish with that now. I'm done, right? How do you know? Are you the one that inspired me to say it? All those of you are saying, yes, sir. All right, the Lord is good. So let's get back to our reading. I'm going to start again. Preserve me, O God, for I take refuge in you. It's up Psalm 16. I said to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good besides you. As for the saints who are in the earth, they are the majestic ones in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who have battled for another God will be multiplied. I shall not pour out their drink offerings of blood, nor will I take their names upon my lips. Let me just read that in the Living Translation. It says, troubles multiply for those who chase after other gods, like quick money. I will not take part in their sacrifices of blood, or even speak the names of their gods. Verse 5, the Lord is my portion. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You support my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Indeed, my heritage is beautiful to me. I will bless the Lord who has counseled me. Indeed, my mind instructs me in the night. I have set the Lord continually before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will dwell securely. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to undergo decay. You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures forever. Please, a number of scriptures, verses I want us to notice here. Verse 2, it says, you are my Lord. I said to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good besides you. It says, the sorrows of those, verse 4, who have battled for another God will be multiplied. I will not participate in their offerings. He said, the Lord is my portion, is the portion of my inheritance and my cup. Verse 8 says, I have set the Lord continually before me. Because it's at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Verse 11, you will make me know the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy, and your right hand pleasures evermore. Now, there's a reason why I just highlighted those things, because of what we have been talking about. Now, let me not switch back, but at least the aim of our instruction is love from a pure heart, a good conscience, and what? Sincere faith. So we keep on touching different areas to help people walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, and to bear fruit in every good work. So pardon me when I leave the main thing we are discussing and we go into side digressions like that, so as to help people. And there's some people now who are going to invest money in what they did not know. They won't do it again. Mm-hmm. Nobody's going to be selling new some spices. They give you medicine to sell. Say this one. It's a resurrection life. Now you won't sell them again. Please, can I beg you again? I'm back to it. Whatever they gave you to go and sell, go and return it. If they tell you to sell something that heals people, never sell it. You're not a juju doctor. You're not a juju doctor. You're not a babalawo. I know you're not a medical doctor. That's why I didn't start with that one. This one is herbs. Eh? You are not a Chinese man. What's in concern with Chinese herbs? You're now marketing it. Woman tell me that she come and buy aloe vera. That she drinks 2 spoons in the morning, all her problems go away. And by the way, another small aside. Before you market such things to people, ask them, what's your qualification? Once the person is trained in the area of medical sciences, don't lie to yourself. The fellow will not buy. So she come and buy aloe vera. Me, that time I was a resident doctor. This was just before I got married, because I went to print card to marry. I don't learn book well at that time. I know what's killing people. How to kill it? I said, I should be drinking 2 spoons of aloe vera. I'm just begging you not to sell such things. It shows that you're a wicked person. You don't have the interest of the person buying at heart. How can you be selling medicine? What are you? Patent medicine dealer. So if you just mix this thing, it cures hypertension. Let me tell you, all those who are going to suffer, God will bring all their problems for you later. Sit down there. And I've been telling the rest of you who they are selling to. There are 2 ways to get healed. Please, I'll get back to my message. There are 2 ways to get treatment. Go and pray, number one. If you will not use prayer alone, go to the hospital that the doctors were trained. They went to school. They did not sleep at night for some years while they were doing anatomy, physiology, and biochemistry. I hope you're getting my point. They train them well. The thing they are selling to you, go and see the textbook on pharmaceutical chemistry or pharmaceutical mathematics. That is not for nothing. I hope you're getting my point. So if it is not prayer you want to use, if you are praying, let's know you are praying. Don't be using prayer and using herbs. I hope you're getting what I'm saying.
Yes, sir.
This is on me. I think the last time I said, people did not listen. Please, I beg you in the name of the Lord, don't take prescriptions from people who are not qualified. I'm not the first sick person on this earth. There's nothing that is doing you that the doctors have not seen before. They say that this root cures prostate. Trust me, if it did, the pharmaceutical companies would have taken it, extracted the thing that's working inside, and they'd be making money from it. Think they are jokers. Say, if you just use this one, now your eye go clear. And you will swallow things where you don't know. And I've warned you about those guys that wear filler. Well, no, keep on getting to this. Because people don't hear. Because you want to get pregnant, you are swallowing every rubbish on the street. Please, if you want to take medicine, go to the place where medicine is dispensed in a good way. Go and see a real doctor. Ask him, okay, are you a specialist in this area? Ask for recommendation. Take medicine that he prescribes. Don't let your auntie that just came back from Dubai give it, even if it's free. Those of you have been swallowing nonsense. I see the way you are quiet. It's because of you I can't preach now. Your auntie came from Dubai. Said, look, I know how much I spent on it. Auntie, why didn't you give me the money? Listen, once it's herbs, I forbid you. The only herbs I allow you to take, if you are a disciple of this ministry, is vegetable that they use for cooking. You can eat ugu. You don't get my point? No green is okay. What's the other one? Onugu is good. You know, bitter leaf is good. It's food, though. I hope you're following what I'm saying. What's the name of that one that smells fun? Not scent leaf. No, the one that sells fun, that's locust beans, I think. The Iru, that's what Iru. Auntie Tayo, where are you? I think it's locust beans, right? You're allowed to, because you know why? They are vegetables. They are not medicine. Once it is medicine, go to hospital. I hope you're getting my point. Oh, God. I can't seem to leave this thing. And please, if doctor gives you medicine, don't add to it. Did you hear what I said? Because I've seen all kinds of things. You give people medicine to take. Then when they are leaving, the auntie will come. As they are going, I heard you are sick. They will leave something beside the bed. Especially, look, if you're a young woman, your case is worse. Because all your husband's people think they must help you. When my wife first had the Akilu that time, my God in heaven, they gave her 75 prescriptions on how to help breast milk flow. I was very angry with my wife. Why are you listening to these people? There are only 2 ways breast milk flows if you've just delivered. 1, give the baby the breast milk. 2, you drink water. They say drink pap. That is not made of pap. Because it's white. Both of them are white. Some people told my wife, just drink pap. Just drink pap. My wife began to chop pap. Some say, no, you eat rice. What's it concern rice with breast milk? Oh, looking at this, my girl, like, oh, girl, don't let them kill you for me. And these are all aunties who've had 5 children. They think they know. Listen, whether I've had children or I didn't have children, I went to medical school. I can draw the milk let down pathway from you, from the posterior pituitary. I can draw it for you. I know the work of oxytocin and prolactin. I can tell you how they work on secretion and contraction of the mammary ducts. If you are not careful, I'll put diagram here and show you everything. Nonsense. I told my wife, okay, you need just two things. Of course, three things. The third one being peace of mind. The way you are going, this Akilu will just starve. There was this boy, that the one that's behind the camera is what I'm talking about. He's not a big boy. So that you can get milk. What did they tell your mother? Meanwhile, your mother needed only two things, really. Put the baby to the nipple. Let him be, whether it's flowing or not, put him there. That sensation is needed for the brain to know that work has started. Number two, make sure you are well hydrated. That is all. That's what I'm telling you. Stop going, letting everybody prescribe for your life. Only two people are allowed to prescribe for you. Scriptures. And if you want to go down to the physical level, a qualified doctor. Anything beyond that is a sin. I hope I'm clear.
Yes, sir.
Please let me preach my message. All you stubborn people that don't listen. Some people now because of the money they have paid. See, if you have lost money, you have lost money. One day, one young girl that was living with us that time, well, my aunt actually was in the house. She said she'd go and bring Panadol. Somebody had a headache. So she came. The person said, oh, sorry, I've already taken. You know what? She went to get water. So I said, what do you want to do with it? He said, I don't want to waste it. I said, no, I don't understand. Because she already removed it from the pack. But then she brought it. It was my auntie. That one said, oh, sorry, you were delayed. So I took another one. Somebody brought me, so I've taken. So this girl went and fetched water as I was watching. I said, hey, come. I said, remember her name. Come, what are you trying to do? He said, I don't want to waste it. I said, it's already wasted. What's your problem? Whether you take it or not, it's wasted. Please throw it in the dustbin. It's wasted. You're not the dustbin. You don't have a headache. You just go and take two tablets of paracetamol. What is wrong with people? You see, you know, I God in heaven. My wife used to do that thing to me sometimes, you know, till now. Say, you want to waste my food? I say, it's already wasted. It's whether you waste it in my stomach or you waste it in the dustbin. Because at my age and my size, I don't think everything I am bringing in here, say, I don't want it to waste. It's already wasted. So once I'm full, I'm not eating again. Say, it's almost finished now. I say, don't worry. I know it's okay. The Lord said I shouldn't eat more than is necessary. It's called gluttony. Leave it. Say, don't waste it. I say, it's already wasted. If you want, 7 minutes is where you calculate whether it should be wasted or not. Not the dustbin of the house. Thank God I have a dog. Some of you don't want to know, if you don't know what to do with those excess, go and get a dog. You, and your conscience will be clear. Just give that to the dog. Amen? Where am I going? If you have wasted money, you have wasted it. So let me just finish it. It will not help you. I'm telling you not to drink poison. So let me just finish it because I paid for it. It's not your fault. It's because this advice is free. Amen?
Amen.
The Lord is good. I have not finished though. It just come back to my mind. And please stop buying mixture. You know what they call mixture? You don't know what's wrong with you, go to a chemist. In this generation, we are giving you mixture. Two tablets of antibiotics, two of multivitamin, two of anti-malaria, two of this bubuleshi, everything, just pack it, see, you go and swallow. You know, God is struggling hard to bless people. Say, Banky, they are destroying themselves every day. How do I help them? You don't know Africans. God has, to bless Africans, God works extra. Africans are very stubborn people. Ignorantly stubborn. The Lord is good. Okay, let's focus now. The Lord is good. All right, so now let's continue the main thing. That was a digression. Some people needed to hear that, all right? It's very, very important. Now, the thing we are trying to teach here now, Psalm 16, yes. Now, let me just remind us of where we are so that we can continue. We are looking at the fact that everything in life is about our faith. Our faith is a focus. The battle is for our faith. The battle is for what?
Our faith.
The battle is for our faith. Now, we have seen a number of things. That last time I explained that hope is very important. You must never lose hope for anybody. You must never lose hope. You must hold on to faith. What is hope?
is the expectation that your faith in the Word of God gives to you. Hope is that expectation that your trust in God's Word births in your life. You must never lose hope. And that's very important. We also saw the fact that there are just two aims that Satan and the world have in the midst of all our troubles, our struggles. There are two aims that Satan and the world, all right, have in the midst of all our struggles. It's temptations. Number one, they want us to what? Sin with our mouth. And number two, we sin with our actions. Many of us don't realize that when we speak things that are wrong, it's sin. But it is. So Satan wants us to say that which is wrong, and he wants us to start walking in sin. Please bear it in mind. If you are hungry and you prayed for food, and food has not come, it's not a sign of God's failing or unfaithfulness. That delay is a test. I hope you're getting my point. What did I say? That delay is a test. Don't forget that. We've talked about that before. I don't want to go over all of that again. Where do we get our hope from? We said it's the Word of God. When you have hope, it helps you focus. When you have hope, it helps you, you know, where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained. But he that keeps the law, happy is he. That is the reason why you keep the law is because you have hope. You have a vision. Without that vision, you become unrestrained. And that's what we call sin. Okay, please bear that in mind. All right? I'm just going over some things that we have looked at. So, our hope is in the Word of God. When God speaks, I like the way Derek Prince would say it, all of God's provision is in His promises. That the only thing God does to provide for you is to give you a word. Now, please, God's word is not just encouragement. It's power that gets things done. If God speaks to you, He's telling you that the release of that word will activate events to help you. The release of that word, He says, seek from the book of the Lord and read. None of this shall fail, neither will anyone lack his meat. Why? Because when the mouth of the Lord commands, His Spirit goes out to gather. That is, when God's word has been released, angels go out to work. Because when He talks about Spirit, He's talking about the... Now, listen to me. Even the government is part of the Spirit manifested. That the Spirit of God will go into the government and make them change rules. The angels of God go out to work to bring the word of God to pass. He says to us clearly that He makes His angels spirits. So you see it. When I say the Spirit goes out to gather, His angels go out to work. I hope you're getting my point. So that is why we rely on God's word. We look to it for our answer. Please, I need to say this again. The problems of life, for you, they are specially crafted to achieve certain things. Two sides. One, it's a temptation to prove you. Two, they are crafted to produce in your life. We know about the parables of Jesus. Because we've gone over it again, I just want to say it briefly. What is the sun that causes the plants to wither? It says persecution that comes as a result of what? The word. However, we all know no plant succeeds without the sun. I hope you get my point. So the trial, the temptations, the persecutions are part of the necessary ingredients for your success in life. We've talked about that before. I will not want to go over all of that again. So we have seen that the Word of God is a creative force. And anytime you have hope, you know what it makes you to do? It makes you to realign yourself. What did I say? If you have hope, what does it do? It makes you realign yourself. That's what it does. He said it like this, that he that has this hope purifies himself. If you're expecting God to do something for you, listen, look at Abraham. We're talking about him on Friday. Because of hope that he has, he let go of the goods of the king of Sodom. I hope you're getting my point. Yeah. He that has his hope in himself purifies himself. He considered the things of the king of Sodom pollution, defilement. But that's because he had hope. That's because he had hope. Listen, if you are going to do an exam as a child of God, I don't need to tell you. We don't cheat because we expect God's help. And if you succeeded with cheating, how will you testify? I hope you're getting my point.
We allow God to take his glory. Once you can't tell the whole story, you are not giving God the whole glory. I hope you get my point. Once you start hiding parts of the story, don't bother telling it again. Because God does not thrive in darkness. He doesn't thrive in darkness. He doesn't thrive in darkness. Somebody gave me a book once to read. By the time it finished, the main thing about the book was not inside the book. How I overcame this challenge. Story up and down, this challenge is powerful, this challenge is dangerous, this challenge is great. I can overcome in Christ Jesus. Then one day God brought solution, amen, and the book ended. There was nowhere where the solution was discussed. So how do I recommend this book to anybody? There was nothing wrong. I'm not saying, look, but let us hear this thing, because you have not encouraged me enough. When God does this thing, you will be able to say it openly, if necessary. Because it doesn't break laws, it doesn't break righteous rules, it doesn't. So when we have hope, you know what we do? We purify ourselves. Now, last time, okay, and I want to finish that one today. Last time we took time out to, you know, to, of course, because it's our school of prayer. And maybe, let me go back to this. One major problem we have in life, in today's Christianity, is that we don't know what prayer is about. There's something that Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What will happen? But you know, we don't seem to notice it. You know what we do? We pray about every other thing. We don't seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We pray about every other thing. So if I say this night, we are going to pray for breakthrough in 2024. We are going to start by 10 p.m. Please, nobody should be late. Come with your anointing oil. Come with your mustard seed. Come with, what else? Mantle. What else do we come with? Broom to sweep away the passage, water. Do you know we'll come with everything, and by the time it's 9:30, the place is full. But you know what God's saying? That is a misuse of prayer time. The prayer is for what? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We spend too much time on all the other things. I'm not saying we'll never pray about them, because Jesus said he knows what you need before you ask. So he expects that you will still ask. But we spend too much time seeking the other things. We don't know what prayer really is about. We did a series here at that time titled The Most Important Prayer. I think we went through Psalm 119. And if you go and see Psalm 119, it's centered around one thing. I will obey your word. I will obey your commandments. Teach me your statutes that I may keep them. You have ordained your precepts diligently, so that we can keep them how? Diligently. You see that running through the whole of Psalm 119, the longest chapter in the Bible. But we have formulae for all kinds of needs to be met. But we hardly have formulae for how to keep the word diligently. And what did we begin to teach last time? Our prayer last time was to use that word. You know, remember, what are the aims of the world and Satan? To make us sin with our mouth and then sin with our actions. So what do we do? Our prayer is to ensure we do not sin with our mouth and we don't sin against God in our actions. And that's what we're talking about. Well, last time we talked about hope, not losing hope. We built our hope on the word of God. If you're not around last time, please try and get the message. Because if you don't have hope, you won't have strength. Hope is what gives strength. Do you know that? Hope gives strength. Hope gives strength. Hope gives strength. I like one thing. Was it my mother that said it that time? About how vision imparts energy. He told a small illustrative story. He said, imagine you get home as a man. And you ask, you're hungry. Maybe your wife has been home. So you had anything to eat. And then she's lying and say, oh, honey, I'm so tired. I've been working all day. I came in back maybe about 2 hours ago. I had to clean the kitchen. I have to do this. I'm so tired. Please, can you just fix yourself something to eat? And you're not angry because you're really tired. So while you're there trying to boil maybe water to make a bar, you know, and warm small soup. Then the phone rings, and it's her friend. This is how he illustrated it. And that one shouted, Susan! Or shout, Susan! You won't believe the sales going on in the shops that's going to close at 12 midnight. That gown she's been looking for, it used to be $100. They're selling for $25, and it's closing at 12 midnight. And look at the time now, 9 p.m. He said, you will see the Holy Spirit hit that woman. This woman that was so tired, she can't enter the kitchen. She will jump up, collect your credit card, take the car keys, run into the car, and phew, she's taken off to the shop. Why? He says vision. Why? Suddenly she can see herself in that expensive dress she could not afford before. Now she can see herself carrying that bag she could not afford. It happens to men also. The man may run down there and say, that television is mine. World Cup is starting next week. So he wants to upgrade his TV. A man that was tired. Let's go for a prayer meeting in church. He could not go. Sales, TV that was $2,000 is now going for $700. The guy is rushing down there. Nobody's getting there before him. It's the power of what? Vision. So that is why we needed to do what we did last time. To build our hope again. That look, if there are difficult times, what are we supposed to do? We build our hope in the Word of God. Because once we have that hope, we do what? We purify ourselves. I hope you're getting my point. All right, so we did that last time. Now, towards the end, if you remember, I was rushing, and I felt bad that I had to rush it. So I want to just complete what we rushed last time and do it properly today. How do we stay pure? Please, let me explain this again. Satan is not interested in your money. Only one thing is he interested in. Your faith. He wants to defile you. Simon, Simon. Satan has demanded to sift you all like wheat. I have prayed for you for what? That your faith will not fail. He tempted Job. He worked hard. He just wanted the faith of Job to fail. That is all. Let me tell you again, people of God. Money is not hard for either God or Satan to give you. Satan will gladly give you if you will give him your faith. If you bow down and worship him, he will gladly give it to you. You just need to say, my faith, the pleasure of God in my life is more important than my prosperity. I hope you're getting my point. That is what you need to emphasize. And that is what prayer is for. Prayer is simple. My name is Daniel. My name is Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. We're about to enter into Babylon. Babylon is a dangerous place. It's not dangerous. Now, I hope you know Babylon was not dangerous when it came to your health. Was it dangerous to your health? Was it dangerous to your prosperity? No, it wasn't. Babylon is only dangerous for one thing. Your faith. So when Daniel and co. saw they were about to enter into Babylon, or they had just arrived, they said, oh, Pari, defilement has come. Germany has now legalized the recreational use of Igbo. You know what they call Igbo? Okay, don't know what's Igbo. I'll tell you. Cannabis. Yeah, it's now legal. So your son can carry it to school. That was what Daniel was talking about. You get to an environment that nothing is off limits. Sexual immorality is normal. Switzerland has a thriving, I forgot how many billion dollars worth of prostitution industry, legal, to the core. They have it in many countries in Europe. There was a time I wanted to subscribe to The Economist. I used to like reading the articles. But the last magazine I read, they said in the editorial that they support the legislation, the legalization of prostitution. I said, you won't get my money. And that was, I think that was in the UK. That's where they are based. That was what Daniel was talking about. That you're about to step into a land where your faith is going to be under attack. Strong attack. That's what the Bible says. Where sin abounds, what happens? That is why we learn to tap into grace. What do? We learn to tap into grace. Where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. So what the children of God do is learn to tap into grace. You know, people keep on using economic difficulty as an excuse for doing what is wrong. For the world, it's okay, but for the church, it's not allowed. It's never allowed. Listen, let me tell you something here. If you go to God and say, Lord, I don't want to do this thing, no matter the pressure, he will give you the grace not to do it. You hear what I said? I said, if you go to God and you say to him with sincerity that this one, Lord, you know I can't do this, but I don't have the power to not do it. Don't worry, he'll give you the power. But if you go with excuses, you kneel down, God, I came to tell you, sorry. Remember a man who gave that excuse that time? Naaman. Before he left the presence of Elisha, he had given the excuse. Please, if you see me go into the temple of Dagon, it's because now my guy I follow. That's what I mean. Now, you know what? God will let him go. Let me just tell you something there. I'm sure you understand this, because I've said it many times. If God says, don't worry about it, you can go, he will never bless you for not going. Do you hear what I say? Naaman said to Elisha, please, your God is the true God, but my God worships Dagon. And because I'm his right-hand man, many times I have to go with him. I'm his chief security officer. I have to enter into the temple of Dagon with him. Please don't be angry. So if he bows, I may have to bow. That was what Naaman said to Elisha. Now this is what I'm saying. Will God be angry with him? No, he wouldn't be. He will listen to all his excuses and say, you can go. You can bow with your boss. But every blessing I give to those who stand, you will never get it. There will be no punishment for bowing, no. But there will be no blessing for resisting. So those of us who like excuses, that's what we are doing to ourselves. We are reducing our blessing. You keep on using excuses to run your life. You are using excuses to shorten the manifestation of your destiny. To reduce, I wanted to say, your destiny. A man told me something once. Interesting. He said he went through a difficult time. It had to do with money. And, okay, let me just explain. He said he took a bank loan. And the thing choked him to here. And he's a man of integrity. So he said, I will not default. So he lost a lot of property because he had to sell them off cheap to pay. Finally, God helped him. The whole thing came to an end. He now said to me, he said, I made a vow. I'll never borrow money again to do business. He said, but man of God, do you know what? I had to break that vow. I said, you did? He said, yes. He said, I got some pastors. You know, some pastors. Pastors said, let me just tell you. You should know your boundaries. You know, offering shouldn't be making you do things you're not supposed to do. What? He said, they prayed so he could break the vow. I said, I felt like asking, sir, what prayer did they pray? You don't need a pastor at such times. You don't. You can do it by yourself. And let me tell you something about God. You don't need the pastors. You wanted to break it. That's why you called them. Is that not so? No, answer me. Is that not so? You have broken it already. They want to. Is it? That is it. All the prayers the pastors are praying is for your own conscience. Once you wanted to, it is taken as you have broken the vow. Now, listen. That's why I tell you, look, stop vowing anyhow. Because sometimes this vow is there. It puts you under unnecessary pressure. Pray. It's better. Make desire. No, make requests to God. But this is where I'm going with the whole talk. I wanted to tell him, say, sir, I don't, and I didn't tell him, but what I wanted to tell you, if we ever get back to that discussion, sir, you do understand? There was a blessing attached to that vow. You just let go of the blessing. There was never a curse tied to it. Breaking it never had a curse. Why did you make the vow? Because of pressure you came under. Is that not so? And you vow to God, I will never come under this kind of pressure. Then you went and said, God, no, you can take me back to that pressure. He's not angry. He won't send you to hellfire. But if there was a blessing attached to that one, you just lost it. So your excuses don't matter in this life. Every excuse you give to God for disobedience is the same excuse he uses for withdrawing the blessing. He's not angry. If you told God, Lord, every day I will not leave the house until I've prayed and I've studied the scriptures. Fine. Then one day he didn't do it. Next day he didn't do it. After 1 week, he said, God, you know, Nigeria is tied to man has to. God said, no problem now. Keep going. However, that blessing, see, maybe there's a word I will have given you every day in those 2 hours or 1 hour you dedicated. You just won't get it. I won't punish you. But I will not struggle to give you that word in the midst of your lunch. I will not. If you want it, come and see me before breakfast. Before everybody wakes up. That was when we agreed we will see. If you say you don't have time, there's no fight. I mean, even as a human being, I've had experiences like that. You're talking to somebody, the person's angry, just keep quiet. There's no fight. We're not angry. I want to give you a word of advice. I remember one man, it was a Volvo. If you ever drove a Volvo for 240, those kind of Volvos, you know, they have this long nose. It can be difficult to control where the front is. I was standing there trying to help him. I said, move. The guy was inching. He was trusting himself more than me that was standing in front of his car. So after I spent a minute, I found I couldn't persuade him. I just did as if he wasn't there. I told my friends, let's go. And I kept on going. Did I punish him? But when he wouldn't listen to me, I left him there to struggle himself out of that tight spot without my help. Because I offered the help, I'll tell the guy, don't worry, you have 1 foot. Move forward. The guy will move half an inch and stop. And be leaning like this to see whether there's space or there's no space. I went to the guy, I told him, oh boy, relax, relax. Don't worry. I'm watching for you. Just trust me. So I'll go there and say, okay, move. And this is not bragging. I'm a bit of a good driver. I hope my father's been like that for a very long time. It's my blood. I was born with steering in my right hand. So it is not as a joke. I was standing there, I said, oh boy, come. He will move half an inch and stop. Then he'll be leaning to see whether there's space. So I just turned. I just walked away as if me and him were not having a conversation. I just told my friend, let's go. And we left. Was I angry with him? Did I say thunder fire you? All I said is, find your way out with your own skill. I will not offer my help. When we are giving God excuses, that's exactly what he will do. He said, Lord, you know I'm very busy. God said, don't worry now. Go and busy. Is that English good? Manage it. Go and busy yourself. Don't worry about it. Go and be busy. For if you have cut out the time, peradventure, there is a blessing I'll have given you that will make 10 hours give you the effect of somebody that labored for 24. Peradventure, you know, I'm God. Sometimes I have things up my sleeve you don't know about. Maybe there's a wisdom I will have given you that will make you do the work of 8 hours in 3.5 hours. But you are too busy for me. So he's not going to punish you, but he will never offer that blessing on other terms. Never. I hope you're getting my point. That is why we pray. We say whatever is required, we will give it to it to obey God. So if you are going into Babylon, don't use the excuse of the pressures in Babylon to disobey God. That excuse is the reason why some blessings will not manifest in your life in Babylon. What should you do? You look and say, ha, this pressure in Babylon, I'm taking it to prayer. Now let's read this again. Then we'll begin to pray. Hebrews, I think we did read it last in chapter 4, verse 16. Let's just read that quickly. Hebrews chapter 4. Let me see where we'll pick it from. See what he says. Therefore, since we have a great high priest, from verse 14, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we, yet without sin. So in the time of temptation, what do we do? Verse 16. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of what? Need. So that we can receive mercy. What is that time? It's a time of temptation. Is a time in which we are being pressed to disobey God. Remember what we said last time? I should say it again. And that's the fact that Satan wants to, you know, pour concrete on our bondage. How does he do it? By making us sin against God because of problems. You hear what I said? Listen, anytime Satan offers a way out of a problem outside the precept of God, he's trying to ensure that problem does not go away. Or it will be replaced with the bigger one. Please, go and read Psalm 118. We don't have time. He said, open to me the gates of righteousness. He said, the righteous will pass through it. Anytime you want to solve a problem, make sure it is the gate of righteousness. If you ever solve a problem with the gate of unrighteousness, you have stepped into a bigger one, which may not be immediately obvious. Did you hear what I said?
Yes.
Listen, let's look at a biblical example now. Your name is David. Something entered your head. It's called a demon. Said to take Uriah's wife. And then the woman came and said she was pregnant. And you knew that was a problem. How do you solve that problem? There are different ways. It's the gates of God. He that covers his sin will not prosper. That's the gate of God. To confess the sins. You call Samuel. No, there was no Samuel at that time. Nathan. You call the elders in Israel. Say, the king has sinned and is no longer worthy to be called thy king. That is how to handle it. But you know what David did? He killed Uriah. In case you do not know, that was a very good solution for a temporary period. In case you do not know, it worked. You see what I said? Let me tell something about God. When he wants to do you strong thing, he will let your head solution work for a while. It's a prayer you must pray. God, where I'm not supposed to go, don't let me go. My name is Jonah. Please, let there be no boat at Joppa. Because there's no boat, you can't be going to Nineveh. It's a prayer you should pray. Because if I'm not supposed to go somewhere, don't let me go. You know what I'm saying? So, David killed Uriah. In case you do not know, for about 9 months or more, everything was peaceful. You did notice that? He took Bathsheba. She carried the pregnancy to Tim. The child was born. The child was thriving in the house. And God said nothing. We don't know how old that child was when God now woke Nathan up. Said David, now in case you don't know why he left David like that, he was giving David time to come by himself. Said David, if I initiate these proceedings, you won't like it. So at night, David sleep now. Sleep will not allow David to sleep. That is, sleep no go agree. One angel will say, "Our guy is calling you. The Lord is calling you." See, that's the problem. No, I don't let you blame Uriah. You blame the girl Bathsheba. You blame everybody. Because she, you have finished the blame game. Now, are you going to call? Of course, it was too late. Uriah was dead. Who wants to report himself at that time? If you had the energy to report yourself, would you not have done it before you killed Uriah? Ah, God. You know, sometimes the body goes, you know, cold. Chills. I just have this goosebumps. Say, God, please don't put me in this situation. Please. I beg you. Because one day, Nathan just strolled in. Hello, sir. Hey, Nathan the prophet. How are you? There's a problem in the land. What is going on? Your people are getting indisciplined. The rich ones, yes, sir. There's this man who had the flock of goats. He could take anyone anytime. But there was another man who had just one little kid, just small goats. That's the only one he had treated like a child. This man had a guest one day. And that's how this impulse is at. Just come like a guest traveling at night. He said to take that man's only goat and kill it to give his guest. David said, "Oh Lord, wow. In this Israel?" Yes, so. You know, he began to tremble. "Please calm down." What did I say? "Try and calm down. Don't get angry too fast." "That man is worthy of death. Literally, he's a son of death. Get him for me. He will pay back, 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 back." When he finished shouting, Nathan said, "There's only one small problem, sir." "What's the problem?" "You are the man." At that point in time, he said, "Thus says the Lord." Eh? "Oh, God, don't talk to me like that. When you want to thus says the Lord, say something else." "Were you not small in your own eyes? Did I not?" Ah, God began to recount the things he did for David. Why is it that of all the women in Israel, how many wives do you have, David? How many concubines? That was when David realized that the cover up did not cover. That was when David realized that the cover up did not cover. And God said, "This forgiveness is not without a cost." Ah, David suffered. I say this boldly. He died early for that. God will have handled, but David himself was tired. Was tired. And after that, he was tired of life. He was tired. God said, "Sorry, too bad. I'm so sorry." He said, okay, "I'll forgive you. It's all right. But nevertheless, the sword will not depart from your house. Absalom will die for this. Amnon will die for this. Tamar will be raped by Amnon for this. Absalom will do this to your concubines for this." Oh, God, you'll reel the thing out. Please, never solve a problem in an ungodly way. When it shows up later, you won't like the consequences. One of the things I want to teach people of God today. Only I've started teaching it for some time. That's why Ezine gave me a name. It's a preacher of the fear of God. Fear God, you his saints. Let me tell you, you know, fear God. God punishes people. He disciplines his children. When he's done with them, they will despair of life itself. Some of them, they will look and say, "God, kill me. I can't take it anymore." God says, "Is that the way you want it?" They'll say, "Yes." Then die. No, and he's not angry. He said, "You will bear this punishment for the next 4 years." In the third year, they say, "Lord, I can't take it anymore." So what do you want? Because I'm not cutting it down, forget it. It was supposed to be 5 years. After all the begging and pleading, I cut it to 4. In the third year, you have lost energy. Abi. So what do you want me to do? He said, "Better for me to be dead than to bear this while I'm alive." God said, "Fine. Tell one angel, bring him here." And Jesus is not going to declare national money for you. And I warn you on something for 10 years. How do you like to declare national money? Listen, let me tell you again. Anybody who preaches to you that what I've said to you is a lie, he's not helping you. He's the one lying to you. This grace that they preach that God doesn't do what I have said is a lie. We have every evidence from scripture and from modern day testimonies that he does. Many people that he's disciplined, they can't stand it anymore. They give up and die. Don't get to that point too. Why did I say this? Well, let's do our prayer so we can go. Never solve a problem in an ungodly way. You have just built it up for a worse problem later. You are owing money, like one brother said to us one day. Who was he talking to? Like, was he on there? Was he on okay with it? He used to do fraud, internet fraud. He said, he just wants to do 1 month so he can settle some problems. Then he will stop. I said, just go. This is the one that God won't let you out of jail for 15 years. By the time you come out, you have gray hair. Just need some money. I say, hey, go and be digging gutter. See, these boys who dig gutter, if you know how much money they make, you have body aches for like the first 2 weeks. So after 1 month, you say you build muscle now. Are you not a man? What is your status run for? It's not for building muscle. If you enter gutter and dig, for the first one, you have blisters, you have problems. Don't worry. You will heal after 1 week. Do it regularly for 1 month. You have enough energy not to have blisters and not to have body aches again. And if you have body aches, what is paracetamol there for? Buy small. 2 tablets before you sleep at night. You pay all your debts. But if you go and steal to clear the debt, if you're owing 1 million, at the end of the year, you'll be owing 15 million. This time around, you'll have borrowed from soldier. This is Nigeria. You know what that means? Not borrowed, you defrauded him. When the guy shows up, guard room is your portion. That's what happens when you solve a problem with a method of iniquity. He said, open to me the gates of God. Please, let's read the scriptures. Hey. Plenty talk, plenty talk, plenty talk. The Lord is good. So how do we keep ourselves pure? That's what we are discussing. Hey, it's amazing how much time we have spent. Okay, you know what I'll do? We'll just read one or two scriptures. Please, what do we do? Romans chapter 12, quickly. All right, let's read together. We're going to read verse 1. 1-2, let's go. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove that which is the will of God, that which is good, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Now, verse 1 is where our emphasis is, that you present your bodies. You present your bodies. You know, please, some people preach this way. They don't mean any harm, but we need to bring balance to everything. As if once you've given your life to Christ, everything is done. But let me say this to you again. Every vow, every covenant you enter into has to be reenacted again and again. I hope you're getting my point. Yes. And Jesus gave us the Holy Communion as one of the ways we do it as Christians. Israel had sacrifices they did year by year. The time you actually entered that covenant was when your household was circumcised. That's how you entered the covenant. But how do you reenact every year? You came with animal sacrifices. What I'm saying so is this. You see what Paul said here. Sometimes we preach as if we know this revelation more than Paul. I've heard all kinds of things. Let me not bring some of them to my discussion now. That preachers preach. One says, as a Christian, you don't need to ask for forgiveness. The Christian is not supposed to ask for forgiveness. No, there are things you hear, you don't even know how to react. I've heard all kinds of things. Please, Paul said, take your body and do what? And present it. Some say, you are holy, there's nothing wrong with you. There's something wrong with you. If there was nothing wrong, why would Paul say, cleanse yourself of all defilement? I like the way the Red Prince explained this. Listen to one of his messages. He said, it's an offering is sanctified by the altar. So if you want your body sanctified, you place it on the altar. What I wanted us to do, just as time ran out on us again, is to take our bodies again and place it on the altar. Through many scriptures we're supposed to read.
I have a compilation of them here. From that Romans chapter 12. All right? Ephesians chapter 4. We'll read from Ephesians chapter 4 from verse 24. And many other scriptures. From Psalm 119. Okay? There are so many. Romans chapter 6 verse 13. There are so many. I compiled a number of them, including that Psalm 16. Because what God said is, as I hear you say in my hearing, so I will do to you. Now, he said that in punishing some people, but that principle is applicable even for good things. So if you say in his hearing, my body I yield as an instrument, or my members as instruments of righteousness. If you say that every morning, please don't ever forget this. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not have the power to resist that fire. Look, if you think they did, come, pastor, let me light candle and put in this your beer. Pastor, if I put fire in this your beard, I'll put a recorder to show you how you were denying God. You won't know. You think, what is his name? Peter knew he was denying Jesus Christ. It was a cock that recorded it. When the cock was like, go, go, go. Peter suddenly replayed everything he said in his mind. He realized he had disobeyed. Whoa? Alainka? Oh, Juni Malun, raw. Finish it. And he said, at least you know this one. He said, look, the cow can look tough. Wait till the knife hit the neck. But he said, cow, they do like this. When they put knife like this, that knife is called temptation. He said, the cow can look tough. Leave that thing. When better knife jammed the neck, you know you don't have any power at that time. Where am I going? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because you know their Hebrew names, did not have the power to resist the fire. You know how they resisted the fire? It is simple. At the beginning, they said to God, this is a place of temptation. We commit ourselves to you. And at that point in time, God said, it's simple. God just say, you can't bow. Now, you can't bow is not your word of advice. The spirit goes out to what? God died. Shadrach wants to say, my Lord, that is the king. As he opens his mouth, you just hear himself say, will not be careful to answer in this matter. The Lord our God, the other person say, what are you saying? Oh, no, not bad, but don't say it like that. The guy is too late. The Lord our God is able to deliver us. And he will. He will deliver us from your fire. Even though he doesn't deliver us. Let it be known to you, O king, that will not bow to any of your images. Will not worship any other god. You know, when Nebuchadnezzar heard it, he was shocked. He did not know these boys could talk back at him like this. They worked with him for some time. What did you just say? That's why he was angry. They said, we'll say we will not bow. I said boldly under God from my understanding of scriptures. It was Ezekiel chapter 2 verse 2 fulfilled again. The spirit entered into me and set me on my feet. That is how we resist in this life. But what does God say we should do? He said, draw near to the throne of grace. Before the time of trial, before the pressure is on you. I like the way Chris Delvan said it. I called upon your name long before my troubles came. That is why I shall not be afraid. That is, before troubles come, we are already calling upon his name. Those guys didn't have any trial before they made up their minds. The first trial, they went and begged the man. But they had a consistent pattern of, we will not disobey God. People of God, it's not with our energy. It is not. It's with our confessions. It's with our declaration. And the high priest of our confession will take those words, empower them, and he will use that to strengthen us in the time of trial. I wanted us to run through a lot of them today, but I ended up doing a lot of teaching. For that reason, let me just stop it here. Let's give the Lord thanks. Let's close and go home. Let's give the Lord thanks today again and say, Lord, thank you for your word. I just want us to give the Lord thanks. Let's ask our feet. Read a few of the scriptures, just not too many. We'll just read a few of them. The Lord is good. Let's give the Lord thanks again. Like I said, let's give the Lord thanks because he has given us life in Christ Jesus. That we are not dead, but we are alive to God. It's important we just say these things to him. Lord, I thank you because I'm not dead in sin, but I'm alive to God. I'm alive in righteousness. I am not dead in sin.
But now I'm dead to sin. I'm alive to God in righteousness. We need to say that. Give the Lord thanks for that. Let us take that Romans chapter 12 and begin to pray with it. Say, Lord, I present my body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to you. This is my spiritual service of worship. Let's read it together. Open Romans chapter 12, verse 1. We'll read it then. We'll now use it for meditation. This is how we'll do in my house. We'll read a particular scripture. I give each person some time to mortify it to himself and to God. Are you there? Let's read it again. We read it before. 1, 2, let's go. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Number 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Now you have your Bible with you. Go over that again in meditation and begin to declare to God, I present my body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to you. That is my spiritual service of worship. I refuse to be conformed to this world, but I'm being transformed by the word of God, by the renewing of my mind. As a result, I'm able to prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. You need to say that to the Lord. I present my body. Say it to God. Listen, it's very important. God takes your body as your property. What you do with it is first done with your mouth. You say to God, this body I present to you as a living sacrifice. That is, I present this body as one that does your will and your will alone. That does your work and your work alone. Say, Lord, I present this body. This body will not participate in unrighteousness. This body will not participate in anything that is unholy. Say, in the name of Jesus, this body will not participate in any form of unrighteousness. This body will not participate in any form of unholiness because I have been recreated in Christ Jesus. I have power over this body. My spirit is above this body. I am not a slave to the, you know, to the deeds of the flesh, but I'm a slave to righteousness. I'm a slave to the deeds of the Spirit. By the Spirit, I'm putting to death the deeds of the flesh. Say, Lord, by the Spirit, I am putting to death the deeds of the flesh. By the Spirit, I am putting to death the deeds of the flesh. By the Spirit, I am putting to death the deeds of the flesh. I put my body on the altar. I put my body on the altar. I say, Lord, do with me as you please. My eyes will serve your purpose. My tongue will serve your purpose. My lips will serve your purpose. My mind will serve your purpose. My hands will serve your purpose. My legs will serve your purpose. I will go only where you want me to go. I will say only that which is pleasing in your sight. In the name of Jesus, even what I take into my body will be pleasing to you. Even what I take into my ears will be pleasing to you. I will not walk in the counsel. I will not pay attention to the advice of the wicked. In the name of Jesus, ungodly people would not have my attention so as to tell me what to do. I commit this body unto you in the name of Jesus. I refuse for this body to yield to the pressures of life. I refuse for this body to yield to the temptations of the flesh. I know the things that are in the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Now I say in the name of Jesus, the lust of the eyes will not take control of me. I lay my body down on the altar. I say the lust of the flesh will not take control of me. I lay my body down on the altar. No pressure is allowed to make me disobey God. Say that to the Lord. No pressure of this life will make me disobey. No pressure in this life will make me disobey. I have been born again. I have new life in Christ. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Say to the Lord this evening, I put on the new self. I have been created, that new self, in the likeness of God. I have been created in the likeness of God, in holiness, in righteousness. Therefore,
I will not walk after the deeds of the flesh. We are putting our bodies on the altar. That's what we are doing. Can you quickly open to the book of Ephesians chapter 4 as you are praying? Just open to Ephesians chapter 4 in the midst of your praying. I want us to read from verse 22. We are going to read to verse 32. So I have 11 verses there. So get ready. Remember, this is the most important thing we do with prayer. Is this an intercession? It's not food and drink. It is purification of ourselves and intercessory prayer. Bringing forth mercy for others. That's what we do with a prayer, most importantly. Are you there? Ephesians chapter 4. Which verse did I say? 22. Now we're reading from that to the end. Now just, it's the middle of a thought. Let's just start from verse 22. 1, 2, let's go. That in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry, and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. He who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with one who has need. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath, anger, clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Now, we started from verse 22. Now, you are going to read it by yourself this time around. You are going to personalize the instructions as if you are saying, I am obeying this. I hope you're getting my point. For example, verse 22, you say, in reference to the manner, former manner of life, I lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit. You can use a simpler translation if you wish, if it would be better for you. Anyone you like, you use. But what you are doing is that you are prophesying these words to yourself. You are making your dedication before God. You are offering your confessions for the high priest to confirm for you. That's what you are doing. That is, you are saying, I'm throwing away the old sinful nature and the former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, the Holy Spirit is renewing my thoughts and attitudes. I put on the new nature. I'm using New Living Translation now. I'm in verse 24. Created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. I stop telling lies in the name of Jesus. Now begin to do that. You are speaking to yourself now. In the name of Jesus, I stop telling lies. I speak to myself. Lying is not your portion. Start from any verse you like there. I tell my neighbors the truth. I tell my brethren the truth. Because I recognize that we are members of one body. I don't sin by letting anger take control of me. I don't let anger take hold of me. I don't allow the devil to have a foothold in my relationships. Oh, henceforth, I will never steal anything. Take anything that belongs to somebody else, be it government or another person. I will not walk in covetousness. What is covetousness? Using legal means to take that which belongs to somebody else. I will not walk in covetousness. But I will walk, and I ask the Lord to bless my walk. And whatever God gives me from it, I will be generous. In the name of Jesus. Henceforth, my mouth will not use foul or abusive language. Everything I say will be good and helpful. I will have on my tongue words of encouragement to help those who hear in the name of Jesus. My manner of life, my speech, my thoughts, everything I do will not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. It will not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. In the name of Jesus, I get rid of all bitterness. I'm in verse 31. Rage, anger, harsh words, slander, all types of evil behavior, they will not be my portion. In the name of Jesus, Instead, I will be kind to my brethren. I will be kind to my wife. I will be kind to my children. I will be kind to my friends. I will forgive just as God through Christ has forgiven me. I have been forgiven by God through Christ Jesus. For that reason, I have the ability to forgive other people in the name of Jesus. I will live a life filled with love, following the example of Jesus Christ. That's chapter 5, verse 1. I will be exactly like Jesus, a life of love. Because look at it, he gave himself up for me. I will willingly give up things that are mine for my brethren. I will give up myself to be a blessing to the church of God and to this generation. In the name of Jesus, I commit myself to a life of love. I commit myself to a life of walking in love. In the name of Jesus, I commit myself to a life of walking in love as God has commanded me. In the name of Jesus, I surrender my body to the service of God. I surrender my whole body. I place it on the altar. And I walk in love in addition to that. So that my sacrifice is not hopeless. So that my sacrifice is not meaningless. Oh, I'm patient. I'm quoting the principles of love now. He said, love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous. Love does not brag. Love is not arrogant. It does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. It's not easily provoked. It does not take account of wrong suffered. It does not rejoice in unrighteousness. Love rejoices in truth. That's how my life will be. I will rejoice in truth. I will not rejoice in injustice or unrighteousness. I will be patient. I will be kind. I will not be jealous. I will not be arrogant. I will not brag. In the name of Jesus, I will bear all things. I will believe everything that God has said in his word concerning me and concerning my brethren. I dedicate my mind, my heart, my soul. He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart. I say to my heart, love the Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your soul. I say to my soul, love the Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your mind. Everything you understand in life. He said, the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. You have to see the purpose of God in everything. You dedicate your mind to that. And with all your might. The word might in scripture is the same thing as wealth. It's in the name of Jesus. I will love the Lord my God with all my resources. In the name of Jesus. I place everything I have on the altar. So you need to do that. You have 2 more minutes to do that so we can close. I place everything I have on the altar of God. Everything I have, I place on his altar. Everything I have, I place on the altar of God. Everything I have, my money, my skill, my time, everything I have, I place on the altar. Everything I have, I place on his altar. Listen to this. Let me just read this, then we can close. Say, your word, David said from Psalm 119, verse 11, your word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. With my lips I have told of all the ordinances of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways. I shall delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. We should read that together. I shouldn't have read it by myself, so that we'll close with it. Are you there? Let's start from verse 10. You're going to read from verse 10 all the way to verse 16. We're using the New American Standard from verse 10 to verse 16. Are you there? Psalm 119. We're reading from verse 10, and that's what we are closing with. Psalm 119. Are you there? All right, let's go. With all my heart, I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Your word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have told of all your ordinances of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways. I shall delight in your statutes. I shall not forget your word. Now, I wanted to read verses 15 and 16 again. One more time. I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways. I shall delight in your statutes. I shall not forget your word. We read it one more time. I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways. I shall delight in your statutes. I shall not forget your word. Now, while we're reading this, I'm summarizing our laying down our bodies on his altar. That's what we are doing. We are saying, Lord, I will take in your word at all time. I will think of all and meditate upon that which is pleasing to you. I will delight in all your statutes, and I shall not forget your word. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this evening. An evening in which we are reenacting the covenant we have with you in Christ Jesus. We say it again, yours we are, and yours we want to be. Do with us anything that pleases you. Our bodies are laid down on your altar. We are sanctified. We give you all the praise in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right, let's share the grace in fellowship. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil, because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power of God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now bless one person beside you. Say, this is your season. The last one for yourself. Say, this is my season. And of the power of God, in the name of Jesus Christ. All right, shout out, brethren. God bless you.